Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Thanks so much. Please also pray for our families. Specifically, there have been times in the past where, when I'm on mission, then things seem to ruffle eight by the ice, you know. Then, so let's trust that the families of our teams will be healthy and safe as we're on our way. Amen. Great stuff. So, what an encouragement, especially just. If you missed out on Philip's message from last week, I want to really encourage you to go and catch up. This is one of those that you can share with a lot of people. Okay? So, not like the other ones aren't, but please, you'll know what I'm talking about when you listen to it. There's a lot of people that need to hear that, so please be bold and pass it on. Thanks. Too many pens. All right. Great. So what a privilege to share the word. We as a family have had a couple of busy weeks also with obviously the conference and the summit. And a while ago, David, my son, he's just turned 11. Anyway, so he came home and he said to me that they have this project at school with the robotics team that they want to design something that can launch a life jacket at somebody in the water that's in trouble, and like a launcher. I thought that's not a bad idea. But then I didn't realize, but then what the teacher spoke to me and said, do you realize that David volunteered you to build this thing? I said, no, I didn't really catch that part. So David's very enthusiastic. He told his teacher, no, that's my dad can build this thing. So I was like, okay, hallelujah. Please pray for me for that as well. But in any case, no, the first, yesterday we put together the first, version. We haven't yet tested it. In the past, you would build something like that. It works. We used to make it with something that explodes, like a aerosol. You spray it in, and then it makes a small explosion, and it pushes out whatever you want to push out the barrel. But we can't, he said, we can't do stuff that explodes with kids, which is a valid point. So now we're doing a compressed air, which can be just as dangerous. So anyway, please pray for us, and hopefully we can get that thing launched. In any case, so yeah, hallelujah, interesting times, eh? Your kids volunteer you for stuff. But anyway, so it's got nothing to do with the sermon. But Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and we thank you for your presence here. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd breathe life into us and that you'd stir our hearts with your truth this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So we spoke about, Phil spoke about us as a family and the fact that the blood of Jesus is what makes us family because of the blood of Christ. Isn't that exciting? It's not something that is only limited to how I feel about you or how I don't feel about you or if I think you look sharp or smart this morning or not, but there's so many things that can distract it. But at the bottom, at the base of it, the reality is that it's the blood of Christ that makes us family in Christ. And that's so exciting, but so challenging at the same time. So it's what he has done on the cross and what he sees us, you know, him seeing us as his bride is what qualifies us, what puts us together as a family in Christ. And in the individualistic society that we live in, often this is a challenge, right? I believe if the enemy can convince us that it's better to do your own thing and it's better to kind of carry on, you know, what you're doing church on your couch, or kind of do your own little thing on your own tangent, be a lone ranger. If he can convince us that that's better, then he's kind of won a big battle, hasn't he? So I'm challenged that we're growing in our revelation of what it means to be church family and what it means to be the bride of Christ. And So how do we interact? How do we grow in that? How do we get over these worldly perceptions that we see around us every day? And how do we get to what's biblical in terms of us being a body? Amen? And so I want to read a good part of Scripture, since Cornei really challenged us that we should read Scripture properly in church. Can you do it? Can you do it with me? All right, let's read from 1 Corinthians 12. The Apostle Paul, he writes to the Corinthian church, and he's giving some correction. He's not introducing many new concepts, but he's giving a lot of advice and a lot of direction around how things should be handled. And then he starts and introduces the concept. Well, no, he doesn't introduce it. He says in 1 Corinthians 12, at the beginning, he says, desire spiritual gifts. And then he starts to name the gifts, and he talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And then, which is very powerful, then he says, but the context in which these gifts have to operate is in the context of the body, the family of God. And that's where I want to start in verse 12. It says, the human body has many parts. This is the New Living Translation. But the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews. Some of us are Gentiles. Some are slaves. Some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The ear can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some of the parts of the body seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. And this is interesting because he kind of mixes gifts of the Father, gifts of the Spirit, gifts of Jesus together. He says, first, there are apostles. Second, there are prophets. Third, there are teachers. Those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. And he goes on, he says, are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. And he goes into the next chapter, which he talks about love. And he says, all of this is great and beautiful and wonderful, and it has to happen in a motive of love. And that's kind of the undergirding motive. There's such a lot in here, and I'm just going to work our way through it a little bit. But I'm so encouraged and challenged at the same time. But isn't this a beautiful picture of how God wants us to work together? And we know this, and we have it in the back of our minds, but yet I believe the enemy has managed to convince many of us to believe lies about how we should interact with the family of Christ, with the rest of the body. So first, let's look through. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. He talks about different cultural, racial backgrounds, different socio-economical situations, but we are all have been baptized into one body. Hallelujah. I don't think that happens anywhere else on the face of this planet, but in the body of Christ, this is the way it should be. everyone from any background, from every part, from every imaginable situation is welcome as a part of the family of God. Hallelujah. All baptized into one body by one Spirit, we have the same Spirit. If the foot says, I'm not a part because I'm not a hand, doesn't make less of part of the body. And I want to encourage us, guys. We have a way, if we think about spiritual gifts and we think about contribution and what can I bring to the table, often I believe the enemy manages to convince us either that you're not gifted, that there isn't anything important that you can contribute. He manages to convince us that you should just come on a Sunday and just chill, and you know, people've got this sorted. There's other people got this sorted. But if you think about it, if the hand or the foot were to operate like that, these things would go pear-shaped, all right? I've been standing next to sports fields, school sports fields for a couple of years now. And I don't know if you've noticed, but there's certain ages where growth spurts happen, right? And then suddenly, it seems like this everything is not working together. Because if a poor boy has grown from this to this in a very short time, it feels like the parts are going their own directions. So I don't know if you've seen that. But soon they get it all together again, they get working. But so we can't go all our different directions, you know. It's awkward and it's lump and it's not lekker and nothing really productive happens. But the body, the different parts, the members, we have to recognize that each one has a very specific and unique purpose. Now, I think the image of the body is so good because even we physically look, the different parts look so different, so extreme different, amen? But each one is so perfect and beautiful in its own design for its own purpose. And so, do not underestimate what God has called you to bring to this family. Do not think it's less important. Do not think it's not spiritual. Okay? You know, we have three children. They are extremely different from each other. It's amazing to see, right? They are gifted very differently. And we have had to help them to see that they cannot compare themselves to one another, all right? And Emily is our youngest. She's turning 9. She has been gifted beautifully and incredibly, such a special way, but very different from the other two. And that does not make her less important or less part of our family. Or are you with me? You know, and if you're sitting with a newborn on your lap or you have your toddler, they don't contribute a lot, right? Doesn't feel like, but that is making less part of the family. So even as a young believer coming into church, you're part of the family. You have a specific role, a specific place. And that's the family of God. That's the body. So we can't look at each other and say, I look different to that person. Or I'm not gifted like that person. Watch out for that, guys. That place where we compare with the person next to us, where we think, oh, that guy's more spiritual than I am or whatever. Be careful of that. God has put you in a very specific place, part of this body, for a purpose that he has. So if the members compare themselves to each other, actually, let's jump to that last photo. I use this as an illustration when I was speaking to the boys at a school the other day, the whole senior phase boys, and it worked for them. So I'm just going to quickly use it now. We're going to go back just now. Great. Okay. So we're talking about comparing yourself to the other people on the team, okay? So if these two were to compare themselves with each other, If you don't know who they are, they both pray for the national rugby team. Okay, this is why it works for the boys. And they are playing for the same team. They have the same purpose. They have the same goal, but they look very different. Are you with me? Now, if the one on the right, if Chaslin would decide to get up in the morning and be discouraged because he doesn't look like Eben, he'd probably not get on the field. You know, saying, I can't do this. But you see, his job is different to Eben's job. So he can't compare. And if Eben had to try and be as quick on his feet like Chaslin, he's not bad. He's not a slouch. But can you concede that it would make no sense for them to get discouraged and depressed because they're not the same? They have different roles. And I remember when David started playing rugby, and even Abby, it's such a great example because each member on the team has a different role and has a different place to fill. And over the years, and I got to know netball a little bit, although there's still a lot it's just Greek to me. I don't know, the people make these signs there, the refs next to the field, something about the feet and stuff. So I figured out a lot of it, but any case. So, but what's interesting about netball is that all the players can't be on all the parts of the field, of the court. Okay, so they physically, they can't even do the other person's job because they can't even go there. So it's very much your role. You bring the ball here, and then that one's job is to put it in the hoop. Similarly, in the spirit, we can't compare. We can't fill the same space. We can't do the same job, and we have not been gifted in the same way. So beware of that comparison. Yes, be inspired by somebody that's seeking God. Yes, be inspired by somebody that's seeing the fruit in their life because they're digging into the Word or they're enjoying Bible school. Be inspired. Inspire one another. Amen. Yes. But don't compare your growth or your trajectory or what you perceive going on with somebody else. Are you with me? Okay, we can go back. Okay, so the members of the body cannot compare themselves to each other. You have a very specific role to play. Bodies are many parts. God has put each part just where He wants it. And if you're not sure yet where that is, don't panic, right? But don't isolate yourself from the body. By being part of the body, by being part of the family, by getting involved, that is how you find out where is my place. That's how. You don't find that out when you on your own. Okay? By getting involved, by serving, by ministering, that is how you figure that out, how it becomes clear to you where God wants you to be. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. And interestingly enough, it seems that society celebrates that. Some Lone Ranger on YouTube going for it, maybe not part of a body, maybe not part of a church, but going all out. Maybe they have the reasons for that. But we say, that's amazing, all right? But just give this some thought for a moment. If you enter a room and there's a foot there in the room, just the foot, can you picture it? It's maybe a bit gory. You're not going to say, wow, that's amazing. Look at that beautiful foot. That's incredible. This is the best foot I've ever seen. You're not going to say that. You're just going to be appalled because there's a disaster that's happened here. This is terrible. Are you with me? How do we celebrate one person on their own doing something? God is meant for us to be together. Are you with me? So let's start celebrating the glory of the body that comes together and that strengthens each other, the members encouraging and strengthening, the members that cannot operate and really live to their full potential, that cannot flourish in isolation. Amen? Okay, he goes on. You can't say to the other one, you don't need you. Okay, and this sometimes also happens. You know, you get guys that are so convinced of their call and their way of doing things and their part that they want to say to a different part of the body, but this is wrong, okay? If the eye was saying, no, this is the way we should live, you know, we should be looking out, doing stuff, we can't, and the eye would be critical of what the hand is doing, just be careful of that as well, right? And I feel the same. Sometimes we do that between different church groups, having different members of mandates. Don't worry about the different ways of doing things. Focus on what God has gifted you, and knowing that we're all pursuing the same goal, the same purpose, the same glory of the same God. Okay. And then he talks about weaker body parts and parts that are more in sight and less, and some that are hidden away. Some of us are gifted to be, in front of people. Some are gifted to be behind the scenes. And praise the Lord for those people that are willing to serve where nobody sees. Because a lot of what you see happening here today will not be happening. A lot of what you see in ministry happening any place cannot happen unless we have those faithful servants that are very good at what they're doing behind the scenes. I mean, nobody sees what's going on, but they are faithfully and very effectively building the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. All right, so don't think that's more or less important depending on visibility or limelight or anything like that. And he goes on, he says, this makes for harmony among the members. When we start to have respect for the call of God on different parts, yes, you may look different. Yes, you're gifted differently. Yes, you're anointed differently, but we need each other. Amen. When we start to have respect for what God has put on somebody's life, God has gifted them. And you know what's interesting when you're working in a team, and I've found this over the years, you might join a team in a workplace or a sport environment or whatever, and you might have a discussion about something. And then over some time, you realize you see a situation or a problem that you're trying to solve, and you're looking at it from a specific perspective, right? Your background, your temperament, your giftedness, your anointing. And you see something there that's an obvious mistake, an obvious problem. And you think, but this is so obvious, everybody sees it. It's not the case. Everybody does not see what you see. And it's interesting because my temperament tends to sit back in terms of in a situation like that. And only if somebody asks me, I'll say, yes, this is what I think. But don't be afraid to bring your opinion or your part, because guess what? Not everybody sees what you see, because everybody is looking at it from a different perspective. And if you don't bring that context or you don't bring that perspective, then the team is lesser for it. Are you with me? So yes, be bold. Come and serve. Yes, that thing that seems obvious to you is not obvious to anybody. And I want to ask you, whether it's in your small group, whether it's here at church, if you see something that's obvious to you, maybe God is talking to you. Amen? If you see something that frustrates you, you think, why can't they get that right? Maybe God is talking to you. Maybe that, but nobody else is seeing that. It's not frustrating anybody else, but it's frustrating you for a specific reason. So I want to ask you, I want to encourage you, be bold. Bring that gift, bring that perspective, gently if you need to, gently and in love. But if it means you need to get involved and serve in some way because nobody else is recognizing that need, that might be the case. Are you with me this morning? But we need each part, each member, each person to bring their part to make the puzzle whole. We need each member of the team on the field. If you've, even if you are gifted similarly to somebody else, okay, maybe on the, different ministry teams with people similar giftings, but taking it back to a rugby example, if one of the center pair would decide, yo, we've already got a center, I'm just going to hang back, they can do the center bit, it's not going to work. If you have one of the props in the front row of the scrum deciding, yeah, we've already got one prop, I can just chill. Chaos, disaster, right? So even in that context, when you're in a team, when you're doing a similar thing, bring your bit. Trust God to grow in it. Trust God to flourish in it. Trust God to bring that gift to the body. Okay. And then he goes into that list, and we don't have time to look at the different gifts, but the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Father. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. We know the gifts of Jesus are the fivefold ministers. And then the gifts of the Father are your natural abilities. Those abilities you have whether you follow Christ or not. Okay. All right. So, and guess what? They are not any less significant than your spiritual gifts. they are just as significant. They are just as important. And it's just as spiritual to serve God with your natural ability. Maybe you're good at admin, or you're good at leadership, you're good at those natural things that we can still grow in, those talents that God gives us. Bring that to the body as well. Bring that to God. Allow Him to bless you in it and allow Him to multiply it, because that brings glory to the Father. Amen. And we need all of that together in the body. Okay, I had a bunch of other scriptures which we won't get to, but let me just quickly read this bit of Ephesians 4. I'm gonna read it. It's not that long. Ephesians 4 from verse 1. Therefore, I, prisoner of serving the Lord, for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for which you have been called by God. Walk worthy of that calling. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults. Right? When we're close together in a body, it's going to be faults are going to come evident. Okay? Humble and gentle, patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. That unity of the Spirit is absolutely critical for us to achieve or to walk in the fullness of the purposes of God. And thanks so much for Tarina for sharing that word this morning. Yes, we get hurt in church. It's not what God wants, but it's real. And if that's the case, please engage. Please have somebody pray with you. Please, you know it's a vulnerable space, but God has got healing and restoration, amen, for you. And he wants us to flourish in that. So it goes on, there's one Lord, there's one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he's given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives, gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also ascended to our lowly world, and he descended to our lowly world, and the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. So he gave specific gifts to each one. Let's go on. Verse 11, now these are the gifts that Christ gave, and he mentions the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, to build up the church, the body of Christ. The fivefold ministers equip the saints, the people of God, to do the work of the ministry and to build the church. Every person is part of the ministry team. Every part of the family, every member is part of the ministry team. Amen. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. So this is what is necessary for us to mature as a family. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that what we want to do? We want to mature as a family. We want to walk in the fullness of what Christ has for us. And let's be honest with ourselves, guys. We have some way to go. But that's all right. When I look at my kids, I don't get impatient. Sometimes I just want them to slow down, not to grow too quickly. But I don't get impatient. I celebrate where they're at. I celebrate the phase of life that they're in. And what a joy it is to see what God is doing in their lives. But we're not going to be impatient with each other or with ourselves. We're going to continue this walk, continue in maturing, that we can really glorify God in what we do. And it goes on, he says, we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies or clever, so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that the goal? Who is the head of his body, the church? He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. Each part. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Amen. I want to challenge us. Let's get rid of the competition, okay? Let's look out for the body part that's suffering, okay? We don't want to lose any members, any parts that we need everyone. Amen. Let's celebrate with each other. Let's encourage one another. Let's inspire one another. But let each have that conviction that I am a part and I am a member and I bring my bit. And yes, sometimes I need to grow in that bit 100%. Sometimes God wants to take your bread and fish and do a miracle with it. But you got to bring it for him to do that. Amen. I want to encourage us. A big part of this happens in small groups. We may have a smaller context of a body where we can get to know each other, where we can challenge one another, frustrate one another a little bit, encourage one another, partly to say, get stuck in. Do your bit. I can see that thing in your life. I see you gifted with it. I see you an encourager. I see you're good with the word. You're a teacher. So in small group, this is a great place where we need to, you know, push one another, encourage one another, inspire one another, exhort one another to get stuck in what God has called us to do. Are you with me? So be bold. Yes, even if you're sitting with some hurts from the past, even if there's stuff that's been with you, be bold to put yourself in that place, in a small group, maybe in a serving team, getting involved in some kind of ministry, but know that God has gifted you and he's called you. And I have found that the places where I grow the most in my relationship with God is when I'm pursuing his kingdom with his people. Amen. My own stuff is also there. I'm dealing with that stuff. But I'm focusing on his glory and his kingdom. I mean, let's stand together. So I'm just trusting God that, firstly, as the Holy Spirit has already ministered to us in terms of being hurt in church, I really want to just latch onto that and say that if the Holy Spirit has pressed on your heart that there's some healing that needs to happen, and maybe that's part of that sensitivity, it's part of why maybe you're a little bit reluctant or you're a little bit hesitant because of hurts and some pain that's still there, 100% understandable. But I really feel the Father wants to take your hand and walk the road of healing and walk the road of restoration. Not because he wants you to perform, but because he wants you to flourish. Amen. Not because he wants you to, you know, work hard or something, but he wants you to see you flourish and bloom and bear fruit. Amen. If that's you this morning, I want to really ask you to be bold and to come to the front. We're going to pray together. Or if you're noticing yourself, you are part of the body, you see yourself as part of the family, but for some reason you kind of just, you're seeing yourself more like a spectator. You're not on the field at the moment for some reason. I want to encourage you. If you want to stick bold step and say, Lord, I want to get on the field. I don't want to be a spectator. I want to be a part of what you're doing. And I'd also love to pray with you. Okay, let's just bow heads for a moment. Father, we thank you through the glorious sacrifice, Lord, what you've finished on the cross, the fact that Jesus died and rose from the dead means that we can have life. That we can be a part of this body, that we can be a part of your body, Lord. Thank you that it's through your sacrifice, your love displayed, your ultimate step of obedience, Lord Jesus, that we can have this relationship with the Father. As the eyes are closed this morning, if you are not sure that you have eternal life, if you are not convinced this morning that you have a real relationship with the living God, if you feel far from God, if you know this morning that you are not right with Him, and you want to make right with Him this morning, I want to pray with you. If you have a desire in your heart this morning to lay down your life, to say, Lord, I don't want to follow my own plan anymore. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to run off to the world anymore. I want to follow you. If you're prepared to turn away from your sin and to follow Christ, then it would be my privilege to pray with you this morning. As eyes are closed, why don't you just raise your hand just for a moment if you want to come back to God this morning. Hallelujah. Thanks so much for those hands. Thank you, Lord. I want us just to pray together with each one that has raised their hand. And I want to invite you to come to the front afterwards. I'm going to pray a simple prayer, and I want us just to all pray after me if that's okay. Thanks so much. Is there anybody else that wants to come to the front right now? Then if you've raised your hand, if you want to join us in the front, we're going to pray. Okay, let's pray together. I'm going to lead us. If you're going to pray, can please pray after me. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you, Lord, that you've died on the cross for me. I repent of my sin. I'm sorry, God. I ask that you would forgive me and wash me clean. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is my Lord and my Savior, and that, thank you, Lord, that you've risen from the dead and that He is alive, and that right now, as I put my faith in Him, I have eternal life. Thank you that I'm your child, Lord. I can hear your voice. Thank you that you give me a new start. I ask that you'd fill me, Lord, with your peace and your presence and your spirit. Let your kingdom come in my life and through my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363. Email us pretoria@shofaronline.org. Browse our website, www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.